Oh, Garden of Eden. Amen. We are back in God's presence. Hallelujah. Somebody, today you shall be empowered. Yesterday, after the program, or in the course of the end of the program yesterday, Pastor said, there was a song he sang, and then we began to plead the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I can tell you that did something to our spirit yesterday. I don't know how many people were connected, but that last moment of the program was something else. I can tell you that for sure. Amen. God is doing something in our midst. Some people have been empowered. How many of them are here today? How many of them are here? Okay. Amen. I'd like to just bring a short exhortation. I hope that, you know, I'll be able to cover up all that I have here. And I want to take this from a scripture in the book of Daniel chapter 4. Let's read from verse 27. Daniel 4:27. Amen. God will help us this evening. He said, whereof, O King? He said, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Break off thy sin by righteousness, and thy iniquity by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be lengthening of thy tranquility. Hallelujah. And the topic I want to take today is break off thy sin by righteousness. Break off thy sins by righteousness. Father, we thank you for today. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would pass through this word and let somebody truly be empowered in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord gave me a vision and told me some days ago, and I shared it with my daddy, and the revelation was clear. The Spirit of the Lord said in that dream, Pastor was preaching, standing somewhere around there. I was seated somewhere under that speaker. While he was talking, people were seated, and I heard him saying that the empowerment program is not for prayer. That the empowerment program is for understanding. He says the empowerment program is not for prayer. The empowerment program is for understanding. I woke up, recorded it immediately, and I shared with him. Brothers and sisters, God wants us to understand his word and his principles. That's the only way we can be empowered. Hallelujah. True empowerment comes from the word of God. The written word, this Bible you are seeing, brothers and sisters, this is the mind of God in printed form. You want to know what God is thinking? Read his word. You want to know how God reasons? Read his word. You want to know what God is expecting from you? Read his word. This is the mind of God. Hallelujah. You know, it's very interesting that if everybody here as a parent, your parent or your guardian, if all of us will study the Bible the way our children study for their Children's Day Bible Challengers participation, I'm telling you, we might have better people than what we have now. That's the truth. They study with so much zeal and passion because there is going to be a reward. They are going to stand before people. There's going to be a competition, you know. Some sort of reward follows that. If all of us are studying in that same way, with the mindset that Christ is going to reward us with knowledge and he will fill us with his presence, our lives should have been better. And that's the truth. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 2 from verse 6 to 14, if you read down that scripture, Paul was trying to narrate to us how that the word of God actually is the mind of God given to us. And nobody can understand what is in a man except the spirit of a man. So therefore, nobody can understand what is in the mind of God except the spirit of God. Hallelujah. And in 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 to 17, he says, all scriptures are given by the inspiration of God. So every scripture, every word you carry here and read is given by God's inspiration. And he says the inspiration of God is what? Is profitable. Is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So the word of God is actually given to us for these things. It helps us to understand the doctrines that we should stand and believe. It helps us to reprove sin when we see it and correct ourselves when we see sin. For correction. And it is also for instruction in righteousness. Hallelujah. 2 Peter 1 verse 20 to 21 said again, that knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is out of any private interpretation. Verse 21, he said, for the prophecies came not in old time by the will of man. So the Bible you are reading is not another English lexicon. It's not another English textbook. It is the mind of God. He says the men spoke, holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So brothers and sisters, anytime you pick your Bible, you are picking what God himself inspired. This is the best-selling book in the world up till today, the Bible. Best-selling. Anywhere you go, best-selling. Why? It is God's word. But unfortunately, the world knows how to read it, but Christians, believers, stay far away from it. And that's the truth. Knowing that the word of God is true and God doesn't lie, I want to give an advice to people. You that is living anyhow and you say God is not worried about that thing you are doing, the reason why God is not paying attention to you is because there's a scripture for you. Matthew 13 from verse 41 to 43. You see, God does not really have time for some of the things you are doing. He says, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels and shall gather out of his kingdom all things or some things. Some things or all things. All things that offend, and them which do what? Them which do what? Iniquity. And what will he do? And what will he do? I shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. The next verse. He said, but the righteous shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whosoever has ears, let him hear. So whether you like it or not, there's already a scripture for you. You see, there are certain people who like plotting and planning evil against people and all of those funny things they do. Listen. You do that against God's children. Bride of Christ, listen very well. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 7, you know what the Bible says? It says, the Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thee, before your face. It's a promise of God. So anybody who is trying to plot anything against you, you don't have any trouble. Just find out the scripture of God, the word of God, that already points to that person and be safe. The word of God does not lie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's so many things to be said, but let me try to bring out the story of this man we just read about. Nebuchadnezzar is a very interesting figure in scripture. Hallelujah. It's our first example. Nebuchadnezzar is one man spoken of by Prophet Daniel, Jeremiah. Jeremiah spoke of him. He was mentioned in the book of Kings. And then Daniel gave clear details of Nebuchadnezzar's life, at least for our own good. Amen. History tells us, and several books, you know, about Nebuchadnezzar, that he was a second king, second Babylonian king, and he reigned over 40 years or more. Second king, reigned over 40 years. And no other king reigned up to that long from the Babylonian empire. Hallelujah. And it is said that this particular king was really, really great. No wonder he's called Nebuchadnezzar the Great. There was just something about this man that was great. Even Bible, the scriptures pointed to the fact that Nebuchadnezzar was a great figure. Hallelujah. You read scriptures in the book of Daniel, you see where Daniel said, the prophecy, the dream Nebuchadnezzar had, Daniel said, you are that head of gold. But Daniel called him, Daniel said, you are the king of kings. The man was very great. God lifted him. Something interesting I also discovered about Nebuchadnezzar is that Nebuchadnezzar is the only king from scripture that had more revelations from God than any other person. He was the only king who had more dreams from God. God gave him several beautiful dreams. Not just dreams about his kingdom, but dreams even of the end time events. That was how peculiar that man was. But there was something that happened to him. Amen. He worshipped other gods, though, but he knew the God, the Most High. That's how interesting he is. He worshipped other gods, you know, even the names he gives to people with the names of his gods. But you know what? He also knew that there was the Most High God. You know, many of us come to church We know there is the Most High, but we have other little high somewhere. We know there's the Most High, but you know there are some small things we still hold on to. Hallelujah. The Bible is speaking to us. Hallelujah. The man enjoyed God's mercy. But I want us to read a scripture. Let's read the story from verse 4. Daniel chapter 4 from verse 4. Please just follow me. And as the Lord will carry us, you'll be a blessing to us. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in my house and flourish in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid and thoughts upon my bed, and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the smoothsayers, and I told them the dream before them. But they did not make known to me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. Before him, I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubled thee, tell me the visions of my dream, that I may see the interpretation thereof. And the man began to narrate his dream to Daniel. He began to tell Daniel, this is what I saw, a tree, blah, blah, blah. The branches was removed. And something interesting about his dream, he said, I saw in the head, verse 13, I saw in the vision of my head, of my bed, rather, behold, a watcher, an unholy one, came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said, thus, hew down the tree, cut off the branches, shake off the leaves, scatter the fruits, let the beasts get away from under it, and let the fowls from his branch. Nevertheless, let the stump of his root in the earth. It says, leave the stump of the root in the earth with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's heart. Let it be a beast's heart given unto him. And let seven times pass over him. This was the dream Nebuchadnezzar saw. And the dream troubled him. And when he told Daniel the dream, Daniel stood for over an hour looking at him. Daniel was wondering, do you mean God is about to do this to somebody? Daniel began to think, because there was trouble before Nebuchadnezzar. There was big trouble in front of Nebuchadnezzar. But Nebuchadnezzar did not understand it. May God give you an understanding heart. Many of us see dreams we don't even understand. And the one that weakens many of us is that you see dreams, you don't even take record of them. God is not an entertainer. Well, Daniel looked at the man and began to interpret the dream. Daniel started by saying, Belteshazzar, he told Daniel, please tell me the dream. Don't be afraid. And Daniel told him, King, let this dream, this thing that you dreamt, let it be the portion of your enemy. Let it not be your portion. The man said, why? Daniel began to interpret from verse 20. The three thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the side thereof to all the earth, whose leaf was fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwell, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heavens had their habitation. It is thou, O King! Thou art grown and become strong for the greatness, for thy greatness is grown and reaches unto the heaven, and thy dominion to the ends of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one come down from heaven and saying, hew down the tree and destroy it, yet let the stump of the root thereof in the earth, leave the stump of the root thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, let his portion be with the grass of the field, till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation thereof, O King. And this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my Lord the King. God has decided to do something to you, King Nebuchadnezzar. Listen, that they shall drive thee from men Verse 25. And thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven. Seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he wills. Whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the three roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after thou shalt have known that the heaven do rule. Brothers and sisters, and Daniel said to him, whereof, O king, let my counsel be acceptable before you. Let me advise you. God is angry with you, but break forth thy sins by righteousness. Brothers and sisters, God is talking to you and I. God is talking to you and I. The judgment of God is certain. But God will only show mercy to those who break off their sins by doing the right thing. What is righteousness? Righteousness is doing the right thing in the sight of God as it has been revealed to you. That's righteousness. God reveals what he wants you to do at a certain time. In the days of Abraham, there was God's standard of righteousness. It continued like that up to our time now. There's a standard of God's righteousness for us. Anybody that breaks, that does not fulfill God's standard of righteousness for this age, what happened to Nebuchadnezzar? We counted as nothing with what is coming your way. Brother, what I just said now is a fact. Break off your sins by righteousness. Nebuchadnezzar had a very good company in Daniel and his friends. But Nebuchadnezzar also had very wrong company. He had plenty of magicians, sorcerers, Chaldeans, you know, he had astrologers. He had all of them. Then he had Daniel. You know the problem with many of us in 2024? You have too many companies, the good, the bad, the ugly, all of them mixed together. So your life was going like alternating current. That's how your life was, alternating current. Today you're up, tomorrow you're down. Today you're up, tomorrow you're down. You're just alternating. No, you are. There's no clear direction. Why? A mix-up of people. Psalm 1 verse 1, say, blessed is the man. Let's read it. Everybody will read it together. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of who? Sinners. They are all in the church. Oh. Nor seated where? In the seat of the scornful. They are all together in the church, embodied in the church. Blessed is the man that stays away from this group of people, but that makes what? Verse 2. But whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law of the Lord does he meditate. When and when? Day and night. There's a reason why he said meditate on the word of God. We are getting there. What will happen to that man? He will be like a tree. Planted. Just like a tree. That's planted by the waters. That song we sang, this is where it was gotten from. What is the company that you are keeping in 2025? And you want empowerment. Matthew 5 verse 12 to 14. Matthew 15, 12 to 14. Then his disciples came and said unto him, knowest thou the Pharisees were offended after they heard your teaching? And he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father had not planted shall be rooted out. This is my emphasis. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both of them shall fall into what? Both of them will fall into what? What company are you keeping? Break off. Check your friends. I'm not trying to create enemies, though. I'm just telling you that check your company and do it by wisdom. Ephesians 5 verse 11. He said, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. But what should you do to them? What should you do to them? Reprove them. That's what the Bible says. Break off your sins by righteousness. Brothers and sisters, Nebuchadnezzar would have escaped that thing that was coming to him if only he had listened to the counsel of Daniel. Look at what the man did in verse 28. Daniel 4. And it came to pass, and all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he had enough time. He walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Then the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for a house of the kingdom by the might of my power, for the honor of my majesty? God is saying, I am the one that made you who you are. People have been ailing you so much until you forgot that it is me that gave you power. He began to ascribe himself to be another level of God. The moment the word was coming out of his mouth, in verse 30, verse 31, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it was spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Brothers and sisters, if only you can change your kind of company, you will not fall into unnecessary trouble. That's the truth, though, if you want to hear it. There was a king that made a very foolish decision. We're going to get there. You see, God is intentional about this thing. He's telling us about breaking off from a wrong gathering. A foolish king in the book of 1 Kings chapter 12 from verse 1. He was the son of Solomon. Look at the foolish thing he did. Then you understand what I'm saying. Do what is right. You are the one God is talking to. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel came to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nabat, who was yet in Egypt, had it, for he was fled from the presence of King Solomon, and Jeroboam dwelt in Egypt, that they sent and called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore, make thou the grievous service of thy father, and thy heavy yoke which he put upon us lighter, and we will serve you. Rehoboam is Solomon's son. Solomon is full of wisdom. So automatically, his son is supposed to have some level of wisdom. Am I correct? At least. Supposed to. That's why I said supposed to. It's supposed to. Hallelujah. But look at the next thing the king did. Next verse. And he said unto them, depart for yet 3 days, then come again to me. And the people left him. Then the king, Rehoboam, consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do you advise that I may answer these people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou will be a servant unto these people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him. And what did he do? He consulted with the young men that grew up with him and which stood before him. The man left the advice of old men that stood with Solomon. He left their advice. He called his friends. Then he asked them the same thing. Let's read quickly. And he said unto them, what counsel give ye that I may answer these people who have spoken to me, saying, make the yoke which thy father did put upon us lighter? And the young men that grew up with him spake unto him, saying, thus thou shalt speak unto the people. Speak unto them, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it lighter unto us. Thou shalt say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. Are you following? They said, this is what your father said, but this is what you should tell them. My little finger will be worse than my father's loins. And now, next verse. And now, whereas my father did lay upon you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father has chastened you with whips, but I will chasten you with scorpions. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day, as the king had appointed, and saying, come to me again the third day. And when they came in, when the people came in, he began to tell them. And the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the old men counsel that they gave him, and spake unto them after the counsel of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy. I will add to your yoke. My father also chastened you with whip, but I will chasten you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not unto the people, for this cause was from the Lord, that he may perform his saying which the Lord has spoken by Ahijah the Shilonite unto Jeroboam the son of Nabat. By this simple action the king did, the kingdom was divided. And that thing that king did affected Israel up till today. That thing he did scattered Israel till today. Why? He took the wrong counsel from the wrong sect of people. Brothers and sisters, don't be foolish in 2025. Don't be foolish, oh. The counsel you meet with matters a lot. You're having problem with your father. Then the advice somebody is giving you is that don't mind your father, you will still make him anyhow. You have a problem with your father. Somebody is advising you that don't mind him, you will still make him. God won't open another way for you. You are the most foolish person. Do you know why? Because nobody prospers in an evil thing, except you are not of God. If you are of God, accident is on the way. Brothers and sisters, mind whose counsel you take. He left the counsel of old men and began to take the counsel of the same people he grew up with. In these days, the old man is not about your age, oh, because even old people lie nowadays. So it's not about age. Who are the old men? Look at them here. They are here. Take their counsel. They walked with Solomon. The apostles walked with the Lord Jesus Christ. They know what is good for us and what is bad. No wonder, even their mind. Apostle Paul, you hear him say, this is not the Lord. This is me advising. It was still written. He says, this is not the Lord, though. This is not the Holy Ghost inspiring me. This is my thought I am putting down. Yet it was still written as the word of God. It means there's a kind of counsel that people feel with the Holy Ghost we give. Even their advice is thought, says the Lord. Mind the people you follow in 2025. It's not everybody. It's not every company you will keep. You know that two people are having a misunderstanding. Your own duty is that you pick side, then you form camp and fight the other person. Brothers and sisters, you are like those young men. You are about to divide Israel without knowing. And what you are doing today has a long-term repercussion. Brothers and sisters, mind what you listen to. It was an anointed prophet that deceived the young prophet. An anointed prophet, old prophet, that deceived the young prophet. Why? The young prophet listened to him instead of listening to the voice of God. God already told you this is what you should do. The young prophet said no. The young prophet hacking onto God, went to the place, did what God told him. Oh yeah, leave now. He began to look for people to associate with. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to the word of God. The elders that stood with the Lord Jesus Christ, they are not wrong in what they have said. Read the writings of Apostle Paul. Read about Peter. Read that of John, the beloved. Read the Gospels. You will soon understand how you should walk, what you should do, how you should live. Listen to the pastor God has given you. It's for a reason. He's not called a shepherd for nothing. There's food in his hand that you feed from. The problem we have is that when someone is going on, somebody's at the back saying, "I only need to talk." That's the problem. The thing that's supposed to make you better is going on, that's the time you pick up your phone. That's the time you want to read a message. That's the time you want to do something that distracts. Then at the end of the day, the thing that will make you a better person, you don't listen to it. You now listen to something else. Break off your sins by righteousness. In 2025, this is what God expects from you. Brothers and sisters, read the word of God. Read it. As you are going to meet somebody for counsel, make sure that you already know what the mind of God is concerning that situation. You are only maybe looking for somebody that will add to what you already know. How can you go and be talking to somebody who has no time for the Bible for advice? What advice will he give you? What advice will he give you? Tell me. A brother did something wrong, repented from it. Another person said he's a goat. He has gone back. Why did he go back? That they call him Hausa goat. You are angry with him that he repented. You are angry with him that he repented. You are worse than the devil. You are sent to come and cause this. You are actually sent to cause problem. So you are not happy that people can resolve issues. You enjoy when people quarrel. Watch those kind of company. They will not do you well in 2025. They will keep you going down. Break off your sin by righteousness. God demands it from us. Or else, what happened to Nebuchadnezzar is just small to what is coming your way. It's scripture. It's not me saying it. It's the Bible that is telling you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? You cannot be wiser than the God who created the universe. In Proverbs 21 verse 30, the Bible said there is no wisdom, no understanding, no counsel that can go against the Lord. No one. There's no way, anywhere you go, anyhow you turn, God is already waiting for you there. Because he was there before you came. You want to use mago-mago? Make a big time to it. What you do not even know that, may God help us. Yesterday I was sleeping. The angel of God came into my house. No, I saw the angel of the Lord in your face. Came to me, we're walking. The angel of God began to tell me certain secrets for 2025. Brothers and sisters, listen to me very well. Believers, we don't just have physical support, we have spiritual support. That's what many people don't know. When you are dealing with a child of God, be very careful. You are dealing with God's apple, the apple of God's eye. The secret things belong to God. He reveals them to whosoever he wills. What you don't know is that God exposes secrets. That thing you are calling secret, God has it in his hand. He reveals it to anybody. Those that pleases him. Break off your sin. There's no need trying to be to do mago-mago in your righteousness. Do the right thing. That's what we want. That's what God demands from us. That's how we're empowered. Not that you come to church today, pastor preach, you cry today, then tomorrow you go and do the worst one. Then come next week and cry again. Who told you God is interested in your tears? God is not interested in tears. God is actually interested in the position of your heart. Nebuchadnezzar would have cried, "Oh, God Most High, oh, God Most High." Was that the instruction? Was that the instruction? God said, "Break off thy sins by righteousness." Nebuchadnezzar, do the right thing. Acknowledge the God of heaven. Cut off every other God. Surrender to him. Then that judgment, instead of coming to you, he will push it to another person. Instead, the man walked in front of the city and began to look at how beautiful the land is. And pride set in. Did I not build this kingdom by myself? Then the angel said, "Yes, you did it by yourself. I've collected it from you." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you are with me, say amen. Amen. Last year, suddenly, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to God's servant, communion every Sunday. Do you know what I got from that? It simply meant that we didn't know the Lord. We didn't know him. That's why I said, let them come every Sunday and eat the communion so that they will know me, because they don't know me. How can we know the Lord? Oh, God of mercy. There are many things we know. It's just that we don't talk. We are commanded not to talk. If we talk, the things that we know, God will help us. You see this heaven? In 2024, it was in 2024 that I knew that we are far from it. That's why he said, eat communion every day. Maybe they will know me. Because we don't know him. How do I know you don't know him? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Read it. That's how you know that you don't know the Lord. If you know the Lord, our attitude will be different. He said, beloved, let us love one another. That statement, love, is bigger than I love you, love me. Sweetie. It's more than that. It's more than that. God's love is the only love that can correct you. I went to see my brother one day, we were talking. I told him something that happened. He looked at me. He said, Bruno, now you were wrong in this area. It's only love that can do that. Many of you have friends that don't tell you the truth. You have friends that hail you in your righteousness. Now so, you don't show them now. Now so, that person is setting a ditch. You'll soon fall inside. Just wait. What kind of company do you keep? What kind of company do you keep? I did something. Something happened. I quickly rushed to our daddy. I said, daddy, see what happened. Daddy said, no, wait. This is what you should do. I sat down as he was talking. I was looking at him. I said, Kai, if only many people in this church have this kind of wisdom, we will not be having issues. Somebody came to tell you that we have a misunderstanding. Don't you know that it's both of them that is wrong? Who told you it's one person? Then you form a camp. You are worse than Rehoboam. In fact, you are worse than Jeroboam. In the church, no wonder we need communion because we don't even know where we are. You think this is cinema? You think we are here to gyrate? We are not care guide though. We are not care guide club. We did not come here to gyrate. We came here to be like Jesus. If you want to be empowered, brothers and sisters, break up your sin by righteousness. Do what is right. If all of us are doing what is right, you will see that the place will be a comfortable place for us to dwell. Many false brethren. A sister was in the office. They were telling her, you have done something bad. Apologize. She said, you say I should apologize. That's why I apologize. I looked at her. I said, well, are you sorry or you were told to apologize? Which one? Is it that you were sorry or you are only apologizing because you were told to apologize? It is not a Christian character. Which Christian does that? A Christian apologizes because you know you are wrong. You see it. You saw I'm wrong in this area. You apologize. Instead, you form camp and be doing, who you the buga for? You the buga for God. Don't worry. Nebuchadnezzar also did the same thing. God humbled him in the bush for 7 years. 7 years. Our God is not a joker, brothers and sisters. I can tell you something for sure. I don't care whether you believe me or not. I've been in Bride Assembly for 24 years. All I saw since I was small in Bride Assembly is that we kept becoming better in the world. Better and better. I attended Bible study in Bride Assembly in Antonio Bay. You attended. We did Bible study. We are lovers of God's word. You are not a member of Bride Assembly. We thought this is your character. You are not part of us, though. You are not part of us. You are strangers in Israel. You came here by chance. You will soon leave. If you don't leave, we will leave you here. Is it that you leave or we leave you? Someone must happen. Is it that you leave or we will leave you here? You occupy this hall, only you. But we are coming back, though, and our fire will carry come. Break off your sins, brothers and sisters. I'm not entertaining you. I'm telling you what God said I should tell you. Months ago, I sat down in my room and the Lord said, open Daniel, read. I began to read Daniel. When I got to this very verse in the book of Daniel, I stopped for another 1 hour. I was still thinking about myself. Break off your sins by doing the right thing. That's the only way you can escape God's judgment. Do what is right. There's a story in the Bible. It's called Rahab. The story of Rahab. She's called Rahab the harlot. Everybody knows her as Rahab the harlot. Harlot. Rahab the prostitute. Rahab the ashawo. But it was Rahab that broke off her sins for her family by righteousness. Her action saved her entire family. One simple action saved her entire family. And God did not only bless her. God made sure that her name remained in the book for generations to come. She can never be forgotten. Many of you will be forgotten. You will only be remembered for the bad you did. Your name will be mentioned among the bad ones. In case you are not aware, a book is being written. In the millennium, it will be read. Your story is part of it. If David knew that his name, his story was going to be recorded, he would not have slept with Bathsheba.
Oh, yes.
Who told you that David enjoyed it? Who told you that it's an exciting thing? With all the greatness of David, what spoiled it was that he slept with Bathsheba and killed the husband. It is still there. You know what? You cannot tear it off. The record is, you can't tear it off. Continue your way. God is taking record. We'll soon read your Bible, don't worry. The book of sinners. Then their names will start. Rare! Joshua chapter 2. Let's read it from verse 1. Quickly, our time is almost up. Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. And Joshua the son of Nun sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, go, view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house. The Bible is very clear about it. They came into a harlot's house named Rahab, and they lodged there. Harlot. Now, a house, now they hide. Many people in Bride Assembly, so-called people who are members of this church, so-called, because I just told you, you are not members of this church, so-called, if the spies had come to the house, they would have reported, hello, then they here. How much you now go give me? Okay, I go deceive them. You can do anything. But look at what Rahab did. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, there came in men hither to the night of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab. How did he know that they were in Rahab's house? There was something about that woman that was well known. Listen. And saying, bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thy house, for they be come to search out the country. Instead of bringing them out, the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, there came men unto me, but I was not wherein they were. And it came to pass about the time of the shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whether the men went, I would not pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. She deceived them, and the people ran and began to pursue nothing. But she had brought them up to the roof of her house and hid them there with the stock of the flax, which she had laid in order for the roof. And the men pursued after them the way of to Jordan unto the ford. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came unto them upon the roof and said unto the men, I know that the Lord God had given you the land, and that your terror is falling upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land fainted because of you. Brothers and sisters, it was not only Rahab that knew it. Many people know that God's judgment is coming, but how many people are breaking off their sins by righteousness? Who does not know that God is going to judge the world? Even the smallest baby in children's church knows it. But how many people are breaking off their sins? Rahab broke off from the nonsense that was going on in Jericho. That single action saved their entire family. Brothers and sisters, break off your sins by righteousness. Check yourself. Check. Check it. Look at the thing that is wrong. Cut it off. That's empowerment. When you begin to cut it off, you will see that you become better. You become better. And people who become better, they are not always loved by everybody. Because the truth is, when you are becoming better, people who are worse than you, they will not like you. Have you ever seen a smoker who likes somebody who does not smoke? You are always making him feel guilty. So when you are around him, he doesn't like it. When he sees his paddy, ask those that are smoke. It's not true. They like staying with their company. No wonder people who love Bible study, they click together. You don't love the word of God, then we will now be friends. Friends for what? What are we sharing? Our conversation does not pass half an hour. You see that girl, half an hour. You see that boy, you see that thing. You see that? That's your conversation. The Bible says, let our conversation be seasoned with salt. Let our conversation go with grace. Let's talk about Jesus. We see me. The only thing we are talking about is things that do not have any value to our lives. And you say we are all going to heaven. Where? How? Which one? Another story is Phinehas. Phinehas stopped the evil that was going on. One man stopped the hand of God's judgment by breaking off his sins by righteousness. He that action saved Israel that day. Numbers chapter 25. Numbers chapter 25. If we read from verse 1. Numbers 25. And he says, and Israel about a shitting. Almost the same place, though. And the people began to commit war dumb to the daughter of Moab. Do you notice the same place? Shitting for Rahab. Listen. And they called the people unto the sacrifice of their gods. And the people did eat and bow to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal-peor. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. God did not even tell Moses another option. The only option available was kill the people, cut their head, hang it. But do you know what? When you are ready to do the right thing, God's righteousness will be revealed to you. Oh, you didn't hear me. The man had a heart. They were all tired. What is going on? See how people are dying. People are still dying in the church today because of some certain people who will not hear word. You refuse to hear. Unknown to you, that your action, that thing you are doing, is causing the death of another person somewhere. Okay, listen. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay ye every one his head that were joined unto Baal-peor. Kill every single person. We don't care the number. And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianish woman. In the sight of Moses, no fear. In the sight of the pastor, fornication is being drunk like water. In the very eyes of the person God has placed you to be a shepherd, some people, is it for one? Is it stealing? Stealing, lie in the name of the Lord. Is it that one? Right in front of the person that God has placed to lead you to a promised land. Brothers and sisters, if you join yourself with such people, you will never get there. I'm not telling you, it's not a mistake. I'm telling you what the scripture says. The man carried the woman and began to walk in front of everybody. He came in the sight of Moses and in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel. All the church members saw it. Who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle. They were praying for God's mercy. They were praying for mercy. Father, forgive us. Lord, have mercy on us. Another person was doing another thing in the same camp. And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, when Phinehas saw that scenario, Phinehas looked at the man, holy anger came up. He forgot that they were begging for mercy. He looked for his friend, where javelin? He carried it. He did not say, okay, Moses, I want to go and kill somebody. He followed the man. Before the man would say, Jack, he stabbed the man and killed both the man and the woman and buried them to the earth. Why? It was wrought out of righteousness. He was breaking off his sins. Yes, sir. People who break off their sins, they make very crazy decisions you will not believe.
Yes, sir.
Because when they do it, they will stay the hand of God. Mm-hmm. When he did it, God in his mercy looked down and told Moses, enough, don't kill anybody again. That was my decision. But somebody understood my righteousness. Somebody understood what is needed to be done. It is the person that sinned that should die. That man carried the whole wahala on his head. Phinehas took it Wednesday, stabbed the man, killed him and the woman to the ground. In our today's congregation, they will say, your own too much. Now you know, pass. For doing the right thing that saved everybody's head. And God said, and the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, verse 10, Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, had turned my wrath away. One man turned away God's judgment from the whole congregation. He says, for the children of Israel, while he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consumed not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Whereof say, behold, I give unto him my covenant of peace. He shall have it
And he sits after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. This is the kind of decision God is wanting you to make. Call out sin and rebuke it. Are you, which one, which game are we playing in the house of God? Hallelujah. Break off thy sin by righteousness. Don't add sin to sin. Don't add the sin you have committed. Then add another one. You already know that there is a problem between Sister Bimpe and Sister Sheung. Then you are going here to stir up the fire of the quarrel. Oh, who are you? Who are you? Where did you come from? You know there is a problem. Instead of killing the spirit so that the thing does not get to another level, so that the devil does not take advantage of it, you are stirring it, adding fire. You go to this one, you pour fire. You come to this one, pour fire. They will be jamming their head. You'll be somewhere. No grief for him, no grief. Who are you? You are adding sin to sin. Understand what God is saying. Cain killed his brother. God said, Cain, why did you kill Abel? He now Kukuma slap God. Am I my brother's keeper? Why are you asking me such questions? God said, it's not me now, it's your brother's blood that was crying up. He said, Abel, leave me, he was somewhere. I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? God said, okay, no problem. From today, you'll be a fugitive. You'll be running up and down. You not have rest. You dwell in the land of Nod. Waka waka, no rest. Instead of repenting, he added another one. The thing is too much now. You know, reduce them. You'll be one, which kind of person be that? God said, okay, no problem. You know what? I will increase your stature. So that anybody that see you will run away, so that you can enjoy your punishment. What kind of heart is that? The heart that does not listen to the word of the heart that cannot be corrected, the heart that can never be told you have done wrong. Apologize. I've not seen it yet. If I will apologize, I've not yet seen it. It will take you 1 year to see your sin. Continue. Hallelujah. As we come before the communion table, the Lord wants us to make a decision to do what is right in His sight. You know what? You know what I learned as I was entering the church today? We're coming with a Sydney, man of God, for preachers. Daddy, a preacher that does not go through any experience will not have a word to say. A prophet that has never seen battles will not understand how the spirit realm works. So for every call you have, you will go through certain things that will teach you the word of God. Are you a preacher? Wait, you soon experience what the Bible call enemies within the camp. You will see it. When you see it, you understand that the Bible is true. When you are preaching, you know what you are saying. Because you are preaching from an experience. May God open our eyes and give us understanding. Make a decision in the sight of the Lord. Ask God for help, because you cannot do it on your own. Seek counsel from the word of God and obey it. Listen to God's word from your pastor. He is God's shepherd to you. Obey what he tells you from God's word. That's why he's giving to you as a shepherd. There's a reason for it. Brethren, pray always. Ask God for direction and guide. Don't walk on your own. God knows tomorrow better than you. O thou that seest tomorrow, direct my path. Ask God to direct you. He knows what tomorrow looks like. Ask God for an understanding heart. That's where the problem is. We come to a point where we don't understand what God wants us to do. Ask God to give you an ear that listens to his word. As I round up, I want us to read Proverbs 4 verse 10 together. Proverbs chapter 4. It says, hear, O my son, and receive my saying, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I've led thee in the right path. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be strained. And when thou cometh, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of the evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For thy sleep, for they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and the sleep is taken away. Their sleep is taken away unless they have caused somebody to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline your ears unto my saying. Please bow your head and take this prayer. I need thee every hour. The prayer for everybody. We need him every hour, every moment, every minute. Break off your own sin. Begin to talk to him.
Continued. You know my secret, you can't take and they preach. So I don't know whether I will talk again. Just be saying, Lord, have mercy on me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know, Pastor Gabriel made a very profound statement. But the direction I took that statement is different from the direction he went. He said, you add sin upon sin. And then you use the example of two people fighting, another one adding fire. Now, but I understood it different. Adding sin upon sin, you committed sin. And then you are adding another sin upon the sin you have committed. Eh? I don't hear that one. Eh?
Used Cain as an example.
That what? What? Like what?
That Cain killed Abel. And yet was still lying to God and questioning it.
No, he didn't lie. He just asked him a question.
That he was rude to God. That was the example he used.
He was rude to God. Okay. There is one pattern in Lagos in those days. You know, if you hear only in those days when Lagos was still safe, only everybody comes out. Nobody this days way, only everybody go run enter inside hide. In those days, see, I've been in Lagos since 1983-84. Once you hear only, the man don't thief. That is the sin. You don't thief. Then they are coming after him. Then he's saying, I am not the one. No, be me. You have added lie upon the sin of stealing. Then, now who? Then you will see one innocent person go and say, nah, him be that. Then attention will leave him. Then they will follow that innocent person and kill you. That was what came to my mind. I said, adding sin upon sin. Attention is taken away from the real sinner. The sinner directed you to an innocent person. And everybody is looking at you as the bad one. It happens in the church. happens in the Christian faith. That's why when you said that, I screamed, because it's what I know. To save myself from dying, I directed that to another person. See, Proverbs 14 verse 12 says something. Proverbs 14 verse 12.
There is a way which seemeth right unto a man.
What happens?
But the end is the way at the ways of death.
You know, you say you kill the sermon topic again. Cut off sin. Break up sin by righteousness. Break up sin by righteousness. Before you can break off sin, you must know the wages of sin. That's why he said this period is for knowledge, understanding. There are things we do that you pay for it without people knowing. There are things, that's why I keep saying, I preach that message, the consequence of sin. Every action you do, there is a consequence. There is a consequence, good or bad. There is a consequence. People don't understand this thing. Pastor Gabriel keeps saying, you can't be a good preacher if you don't have experience. Just this afternoon, the Akwanga Convention. They went to get a hotel of about 40 rooms. They want to take the whole hotel for part of it, one of the hotels they are taking for the program. And then when they got there, in discussion, they said, it's Pastor Moses' church. Moses Alu, he said, yes, the owner. And the owner, he said, wow. He said, if it's the one, the rooms are 15,000 naira per night. He said, if it is his church, he said, there are some rooms, 15,000, and the least one is 9,000 or so. He said, across the board, all, he said, 7,500. Then he said, I know him very well. Please, how can I talk with him? So they sent his number to me. This afternoon, I called him. And he was reminding me that he's a lawyer. When he came to law school, he was mentioning things, you know, within that period in 1980-something, 86 or so, 87. And that was when he came. He said there was something I did for him. He was in great need that period. Up to this moment, I don't know how the person looks like. Imagine somebody you saw last 1987, maybe one day. And when I was talking with him, now he was reminding me. He said, what you did for me, I can never forget it. So if it was bad, he can never forget it. If it is good, he can never forget it. What you sow is what you reap. Because of it, he said, 7,500, 50% off. In this time. So that's what I'm saying. Not only the actions we take, anything you do, there is consequence. No liar is at peace. Because, Elder, by the way, I know you're watching me now, you reminded me on Friday night. He said one thing about lie, that's why he doesn't lie, is that if you tell one lie, you will cover that one lie with many more lies. And he doesn't have the brain to remember to begin to cover. And that is the truth. Truth is truth. You see, the consequence of lying is that you continue to. Then, and lies is a spirit. And before you know what, lying possesses your lying spirit. Then before you know what, it becomes your own character. Until you will lie and be happy that you have lied. Then you use your brain and continue to do what to cover to maintain the lie. They said the wicked runneth when no man pursueth. Why is no man, why does he run no man pursueth? It is his deeds that is pursuing him. So he's believing that they don't catch me. I don't think, maybe I'm wanted by police. Merely they see police, they change direction. That's how police catch criminals. If you are coming, you change direction, they will pursue you. They will hold you until they go to their records. Who you be? Where do you come from? Where is this? They will search you. They will do psychology until they follow you to your house, find out, and say, confess, oh, confess, oh. That's how they caught one man, one boy that stole my car in 1990. He stole my car, went and sold it. Someone that employed to be a driver. I did inside prison. I said, make it drive my family for here. And then he went, dropped them somewhere in Fessa, came back, emptied the house, took all the electronics, put inside the car, and drove off. Well, anyway, one thing led to the other, he was caught. How was he caught? Police patrol was patrolling on the way. Immediately he saw them. They told, come here. You want to come here. That's what they catch up. They catch him. And then the police say, he say, enter motor, you're an armed robber. He said, I'm no thief, you'll be an armed robber. That's how they took him and put him on rear F, put him there. He according to him, he said, I know to rob, I know why they're here. I did bad to my master. I know how they pay for. I know how they pay for. Praise the Lord. And so when the real time came out now, that was when they took his picture. We got his picture. Somebody came and said they saw him in one club. Not be him. Well, maybe not him. Maybe the spirit, you know. So they brought the picture so that they will go to nightclubs to look for him. So they called one inspector. I said, the police commissioner's office is here. I was still in prison, you know. They went to the police commissioner here. They showed what do you call him? The inspector, immediately he said, my person, he said. That's how they went and brought him. That's how they went and brought him. And then my wife was there, and they were, they said, Nahim. He was a crying. He said, Nahim. Anyway, eventually they followed where he sold the car, somewhere in Ogun State, like that. And I was in a prison when they brought the car, look at it. I said, no, this is not the car. They said, no, the car, they don't change everything. Change everything. So how did they catch him? The wicked runneth. When no man pursues. What type of life is that? No peace. No peace. Everything you do is hide. Everything is hide. No peace. You go and begin to sow seed of this God. This one against this one. And then the person goes to tell the person, says, see what you do. See what he tell me. Since there was no witness, you would deny it till I die. So one, sin upon sin, now they tell you so. Now you give me this sermon topic. Number one, you were gossiping. Now double sin, self. You have seen seed of discord among brethren. Number two. Then, when they say, they call you, say, you talk like this. You say, lie, lie. Number three, sin upon sin upon sin. How can such a person live a peaceful life? What's the joy of salvation? Where's the peace that God has given us? When you live that type of life, you are completely bereft, completely empty of God's virtue. You are the one Satan attacks easily. You are the one Satan attacks easily because nothing virtuous is in you. Nothing. Your conscience itself. You know something about the conscience. When you start a particular sin, when you are starting, it will be fighting you. Then you continue, it will still be warning you. You will be feeling uncomfortable. But eventually, when you continue again, then the conscience will stop talking to you. That is the second stage. It will stop talking to you. Then you still continue. then it will, your welder will come and weld it with hot iron completely. Then it is at that time the demon of that thing that you are stopping, that is trying to stop you, will now come and take position. Then you drink that thing you are doing like water. It becomes your character. That is why when this thing starts, fight it immediately. The Bible says, look, even God, you don't hear anything. Your conscience is the first judge of your life. Your heart will condemn you. Anything you are doing, that your heart, I'm talking of people whose hearts is not yet sealed. Don't allow your own to be sealed, because those ones, only God that will unseal it. And one of the ways God unseal it is he will allow one tragic problem come upon you. It is then you will now know that this life, this way I have taken, is not proper. That is why I still want to repeat. What did he say? Romans 6 verse 23. What did he say? It's a popular scripture. What did he say? Romans 6 23.
For the wages of sin is death.
Uh-huh.
But the gift of God is eternal what? Life through Christ Jesus our Lord.
It's eternal life. Not just eternal life, but abundant life. One thing we want to warn believers. Don't take God for granted. Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and verse 8.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked.
Again.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked.
Again.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked.
You know, one evidence that I know, say, I get Holy Ghost. That I know I have Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is the Spirit of God in you. There is an attribute of God who knoweth all things. That knows that what you are doing, he knows that bad thing you are doing. And he will see the look. And you go pray, and he will answer you. To me, it's a serious attribute of God. He knows what you are doing. He has evidence. The evidence is not the same. He seeth all things. He knows all things. Nothing is hidden before him. And you claim you know him. And yet you are living that nonsense life as if you are hiding it from him. The reason they do that is because human beings, they fear men more than they fear God. You are afraid of the judgment of man. When he finds out, you are more afraid of it than the judgment of God. And so, you have walked with me, Pastor Lumide, and I've shared some things with you.
Yes, sir.
And I've shown you some evidence.
True, sir.
Of that you will say, and you are relating like this with a person.
Yes, sir.
Now you say, that is great grace.
It's still baffling me up to now.
It's still baffling you. Not then say. It's not then say. It's not then say. I will know it. I will know it. I give somebody working with me, go and buy something for 200,000 naira. Even workers in this church, they don't know how many times I have tested them.
Yes, sir.
Go and buy this. Once you are going to buy in the market, it means it's open. I'll go to Google. I'll get the receipt. When you bring the receipt, I will call that number. I beg, I want to buy so. How much? This man, who you be, self? Now, so I be you. I don't be God. That's why they take no people. And yet, I know we'll say, bring my money back. I could look up. And I will not say a word. I could look you. So you prosper like this. So you will prosper like this. You live this type of life. You lie. Lie and lie and lie And unknown to you, the person you are lying to, like God, knows that you are lying. Amen. And why don't you tell them? They will go and block the channel through which you know. Not that they will repent. Amen. You will see such characters doing everything to find out. They will say, maybe na Chima talk am. Maybe na this girl talk am. That day. Now only you are talking for, talking with. If it not be you. Why are you interested in that? So that you will cover it up. And check and it's just like the way of a man and a woman. You see, sisters, I've told you this thing. If your husband is going out with any girl, don't fight the man and think it will stop. It will never stop. How should take no? But fornicator, that's why you talk. How you take no? Better say, pick my phone. Better say, get somebody for here where they give information. I'm not going to succeed. Then the two of them, the man and the woman with the phone. Better say, my wife, don't find out too. More change tactics. For 1 week, no call me here. For 1 week, no call me home. I'll not call you or use the other number. Use this one. Has that stopped? What you should do is go and pray, Lord, write the name of the girl one side, the name of your husband one side, prophetic action. I tear them apart in the name of Jesus. Secretly, may they not know. If they know, they go call, say, you do prophetic action, so we can scatter. Then they will do another prophetic action to come back.
Reinforcement.
That is, and it's worse if the person is a Christian or is seen to be a Christian. A demon has possessed you and you don't know it. He said, God is not mocked. Why? Because he knows for every action you do, there is a consequence. How did he put it? Read it again.
Be not deceived.
Yes.
God is not mocked.
God cannot be deceived. And you cannot mock him.
For whatsoever a man soweth,
it is what you sow
that shall he also reap.
It is what you sow you will reap. Me here, throughout the period the office I occupied, I know how many people, if you had problem, except you were not able to reach me, even as an unbeliever, because it's a general law, it's not just for Christians. It's a law of life. And that is what I am enjoying till today. That I was not doing it so that anybody would pay me back for good. It's just my way of life. And so when I came to Christ and found out that it is the law of Christ also, I hold on to that to make sure nothing evil proceeds from me to a fellow human being. Nothing, because it will come back to me. If it doesn't come back at my time, it will come back on my children later. It is certain. It is certain. And it is foolish to live your life for today only. Remember, everything you do is a seed. If you finish me behind me, you have sown a seed. It's a seed. It's a seed of destruction. And destruction is awaiting you. That's why, what did he say? Luke 6:38. He said, give. And it shall be given unto you. How many measure?
Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over.
Who will give to you?
Shall men give into your
bosom? Who will give to you?
Men give
into
your
bosom. Because who are you given to?
To man.
You are given to man now. Men will also give it to you. Serious food.
For with the same measure that ye meet with thou, it shall be measured to you again.
It is the law of life. That's why we say study the Bible. People don't study. You don't study the Bible. Only Facebook. You won't learn life is Facebook. Oh. You won't learn life on social media. Oh. The book of life is the Bible. Read those proverbs. See wisdom there. Don't read only Psalm because you use Psalm for prayer. Let my weak, let him not, let it die. The wicked of the wicked. Me, why not you be the wicked one? It doesn't change you in any way. We learn every day. I have too many testimonies to share that should help everyone know the benefit of living a righteous life, a clean life, towards one another, and stop deceiving yourself, because it is at the end you are the one that will. You know, a woman that jumps from man to man, man to man, you know it now. You know the effect. You know the effect. It will come back again to you. It will come back to you because we're in a society. We are in a society, you know, that takes record of the kind of life we are living. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. You jump from man to man, man to man, man to man. Every man, you know, when you join, you become one. The consequence is that even of course the follower, you don't carry and jump before yourself because the two of you have become one. Then one problem or the other, deliverance today, deliverance tomorrow, deliverance today. No womanizer prospers. No womanizer prospers. None. None. And God will hasten you to go and meet one Asmodi. So that he will teach you a lesson. And see, fine girl. Ugly girls are not possessed. Satan doesn't possess ugly women. Because nobody will be attracted to them. Now find one. The one where did they go? You go see neck, they do like this, they do like this, they do like this. Now that one, nine, those marine kingdom for River Niger, the rest in the comments. Then when you see, they say, wow, Kai, wow. And so you don't see in a grave, they go. And those who are possessed, it's very easy to get them. Because that is their job. Before you say, man, you want to marry me? Oh, yeah, nah. Oh, wow. Wow, 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 wow. Those who are not possessed, before you get them, those who are not possessed, they are normal. Everybody coming to them is a suspect. You say, good evening. You go look before you answer. Yes, good evening. Which one be this one? They greet me. Good evening. You know me before. I say, go to talk for a heart. Don't put in guard. Don't put in guard. Which one be good evening? You greet good evening. Says, you don't greet me. I don't answer now. Wait a minute. But those who are possessed, now them go chase you, sir.
Yes, sir.
Now them go chase you. And it's worse. That's why I want all the ministers in those days. There are two things I want all of you. I said, don't from somebody coming to you for counseling, for a business. Enter that business. They will use and trap you, finish you. And everybody don't marry. Who again? Who remain? I told you. Don't from counseling a sister, enter into a relationship with her. She came for counseling. The next thing is, I want Mariam. Hey! 90% the assignment that they come for. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I have seen people coming, sisters coming to greet you. Then they will lean on the table like this. Daddy. I go say, yeah, this guy will go enter Sydney office. can't see vision again. I go say, see this one, see this one. Be careful. Romans chapter. You see, people don't like my sermon. You see, when you were preaching, everywhere was. But you see me now. You see, then they laugh at me. Now me, then they laugh. They're laughing at me. I'm saying the truth because it's practical. It happens. All ministries, it happens. It happens. And Prophet Benjamin cannot come and cook for you in your house. It happens. It happens. What are you saying? It happens. It happens. Why will a single sister cook for you and bring to you, prophet, your office? I'm not saying it happened to you. I'm using example. Example I did. If after eating it, you begin to see vision of you people at the altar, carry yourself, they go, hey, hey, hey. We get stomach ministry here. If you are hungry, go to stomach ministry and eat. Verse 12, Romans chapter 6. 12, 13 and 14. What did he say?
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body.
Again.
Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body.
Uh-huh.
That you should obey it in the laws thereof.
It's not everything your body wants, you give it. It's not everything your eyes see, you go for it. Some are danger. Go ahead.
Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instrument of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace.
We are under a grace that is above the power of sin. Therefore, sin cannot reign over because we have the ability to say no. We have the power to say no. That is the meaning of grace. We have power to say no. Instead of lying, I'll say the truth and die for it. No. Instead of falling, say no. I refuse to fall. I will stand. That is the battle we face every day as Christians. Every one of us face it. One temptation or the other. We that are ministers, the hunger is too much. The need is too much. We that are gifted ministers, including me, all of us, the temptation, just because of confidence you have in me, if I tell you, give you a revelation that, and then the end of the revelation is, I need to travel to your village urgently. But you have to go by ticket, by air. By air is 150,000 naira. By road, one way, go and come, 300,000. But 40,000 can carry me, go come. Then I have 300 and something left. It will solve all the problem. Now, if you just say that, you will have that money. And if you don't say it, then you will suffer what is awaiting you. You see the temptation? See the temptation? See? Until these days, be very careful where you take certain people to go for prayers. Once the reach they are finished, you will come back again to that person behind you. Come back again to that person behind you. That time I was praying with Olumide, Pastor Olumide, because there was something I saw, I forgot. That's why I came back. We need to go to the mountain. I need to carry 7 people, but top secret. Don't let Olumide know. It's for your own good. That spirit is there. What love of money. This one is not even love of money. It's impatience, inability to go through little trial of hunger. It's because you don't have the knowledge that God does not forsake his own. God does not forsake his own. For a little morsel of bread, Esau sold his birthright. Hunger. Hunger will make you to lose all your guards. Lose everything. Lose everything. Lose everything. And the day Olumide will get to know that you went behind, how will he be looking at you? That's the problem. It happens. The girl will go behind and collect the boys, the boyfriend of your friend. And they don't care how you look at it, as long as I get what I'm looking for from the man. Well, finish you and collect your boyfriend. And you don't know what you are showing for yourself. Now suddenly they collect your own, to collect your own, collect your own. You will never get to one steady one. It is a law. Life can be sweeter than the way we take it. That's why Jesus went to the cross on Calvary. Praise the Lord. Did we read Romans chapter 8, verse 12?
Romans chapter 8, verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh.
Again.
Therefore, brethren, we are debtors.
Do you know why he called it debt? He's using the Chinese something. China, fake China food. Okay, sir, it's okay. I understand your phone has problem. I understand. That is a fake phone. Praise the Lord. Sorry, do you know why you call it debt? Do you know why it is a debt? It's what we owe him. Anything you owe somebody is a debt to you. We are debtors. Read it again.
Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh.
But to what?
To live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live.
What we owe God is righteousness. A life of righteousness. We don't owe this flesh to obey it. We owe the Spirit of God to obey the Spirit of God. That is the debt we have for what he did for us on the cross of Calvary, which we are here to remember today. Well, what he did on the cross of Calvary, we owe him a reciprocal life of righteousness. Reciprocate what he did for us on the cross with a life of righteousness. But on our own, we can't, because of the war, the battle we face. But this, between good and bad, all inside of us. Two spirits. Flesh, the one controlling the flesh, and the Spirit of God that also want to control your life. Yield yourself, members. He said mortify. Mortify is, read that verse again.
Verse 13. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die.
What are you supposed to do?
But if ye through the Spirit,
through the Holy Ghost,
do mortify the deeds of
mortify,
the body.
Mortify, check it, put it in check.
Ye shall live.
You will live. And they live here. I'm not talking about grave. Is it life you are living if you have no peace? Are you living life when you have no joy? When you can't sleep? Every day is trouble. When you feel trouble with this one, trouble with that one, trouble with this one, trouble with this one. Everywhere, there are people that just trouble. All the police station in their area, they know them. In your neighborhood, the neighbors in your house, all of them, if you fight, Yasikira, you fight, Mama Emeka, you fight, only you fight. Is that life? That's not life now. That's not life. No peace. Nothing. No peace in your life. No peace. Whatsoever, no peace. Is that life? I made a statement. I said, a Christian, a true Christian, should not suffer depression. And I mean it. You can't suffer anxiety because he said we should be anxious for nothing. Depression is the next step after anxiety. And it's a state of hopelessness. A problem that comes before you and you think there is no way out. It troubles you, it consumes you so much until you begin to think there is no hope anywhere. And yet you say you're a Christian? No. Don't live that type of life. That you are not yet benefiting from the cross. What Christ came to give us is peace, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Anything that overpowers you, hand it over to Him. Hallelujah. Just hand it over to Him and push ahead. Anything. I wrote it somewhere. Let me have my Bible. I want to quote it as I wrote it. I wrote it some time ago. I say my principles for life. I wrote it in a page in my Bible with my Bible. I expect the best and prepare for the worst. I try to do all that I can and leave the rest to God. And this is the principle that guides me till now. When I meet you, I expect the best from my relationship with you, but I prepare for the worst. So that when you go contrary to my expectation, it doesn't hurt me so much. I already have a shock absorber. I've been preparing for it. How do I prepare for it? I don't trust you to that level. I know you are a human being and you can change tomorrow. Only God does not change. Man can change, therefore, I expect the worst. I prepare for the worst, but I expect the best from you. Let us stand. So go to the Lord's table, we bake the bread. Just go and sit down in your seat and meditate. What aspect of my life do I need to destroy? The opposite of sin is righteousness. That's all. It's removing it and replacing. Removing it and replacing with righteousness. You are the only one that knows the kind of prayer you pray. What do you want God to replace in your life? What do you want God to replace? Line by line.